We're back. North Shore Sports Night has returned after a week or so off, enjoying the summer that has come and gone. We had two great days of summer. Enjoyed the 4th of July weekend, and that was extended and so on. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns and our producer and engineer, Bill Profosky. And we have our usual cast of characters tonight. Should be a lot of fun tonight. Tim, welcome. How was your 4th?
It was good. We had cookout with family, which is always fun to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually had almost two good days. Actually, during the St. Peter's Fiesta in Gloucester, the weather was pretty good for three or four evenings. I wouldn't call it hot summer weather, but it was good, and they were able to get the fiesta in. And then the 4th of July came along, and again, we had two or three pretty good summer days. So it was good. The only thing is, in Gloucester, and I know it happened in other communities too, the fireworks committees had to depend on the weather. And so in many situations, especially in Gloucester, which had a gigantic 400th anniversary fireworks display, they had set up the fireworks the evening before because the weather called for clearing on July 8. On July 3, it was supposed to be cloudy. Well, it turned out to be clear on July 3 in the evening. They had postponed the fireworks to July 8, which I think is Saturday, because it was supposed to be clear, and in fact, the fog was as hellacious as you'll ever see on the coast. And they had to fire them off because they had them all primed. So at Good Harbor Beach, sometimes you can see, when they go up in the clouds, you can see sort of like these cotton ball puffs of color. You couldn't even see that Saturday night. So it is what it is, and we're going to have some fun tonight. And we're going to be talking with Mike Grenier, of course, later on, who is our sports journalist extraordinaire. He's our basketball insider. We're also going to bring on Steve Krause momentarily, who is a longtime sports journalist in the area, mostly with the item. He's also done, of course, news with the item. But the topic, I just think we're going to have some fun with this, Tim, because, among the four of us, we've got about 300 years of experience here as being professional sports watchers. And we're going to start tonight with coming up with what we think, what our opinion is, on the top five TV sports TV anchors in Boston. And then we're going to expand that later on, maybe next week or the week after. We'll extend it to sportscasters overall in the city. Then we'll extend it nationally and so on. We'll break it up into segments and talk about some of the things that we remember about these guys or are still listening to. So, Tim, I think before we do that, give me your quick impression, please, of the Red Sox. Then we'll bring in Steve prior to the All-Star break, because they're schizophrenic.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say they're Jekyll and Hyde. They don't have a clue, I think, as to who they are. They hit well. They don't hit. They field well. They don't field at all. Good. The pitching is chaotic. So it's like, who the hell are these guys? And because of that, they're sitting where they are in the AL East standings. They can't seem to, they'll win four or five games in a row. I think they won six or at one point, and they turn around and they lose six. So, for all the good you do, they quickly undo it. And they can't gain any headway. There has to be some kind of consistency in their performance. And that, I think, is what drives people crazy. And yet, you look around the ballpark and they're doing sellouts or there's near sellouts because the fans love their baseball. Mm. And you look around the league at some of these other teams that are actually doing better, and they got nobody in the stands. And you're thinking, boy, how does that make a team feel? You're playing well, you look up in the stands, and it's like, geez, I remember having crowds like this when I was playing in the minors. The Red Sox guys get up here and they go, wow, this is what it's like to have fans every day. So you understand that, they want to play hard. It's just that there's no consistency to what they're doing.
Right.
And for ball purists, I'd like to count myself amongst those, it drives you absolutely absolutely batty. You watch the fundamental mistakes being made game in and game out by usually the same player, especially a young shortstop. And you're thinking, how the hell do you keep putting this guy out on the field? You know, you at that level, you've got to just find somebody who can play the position. You know, and right now, they just haven't got it. And I still go back and hop on it. I want to see one lineup, one team go out there game after game. Now, to be able to question mark, you know, the other day, you got to be able to find a way to get Duval and, could have played center field, name all of a sudden escaping.
Durant,
get them in the lineup together. Well, you put one in the center, one in left, and you let them play. You know, and you may have to deal some of these other guys away. And what's crazy is none of these guys are overly outstanding. You know, put Kiki in center, put Durant in right. I don't care how you do it, but get the same guys out there and let them play.
Well, what's interesting,
we talked about this, Mike, last year with the Celtics, pick a team and play them. And when they did that, they played really well.
What's kind of amazing, Tim, is despite all this up and down stuff, they cut the lead. They were down 15 games at one time. They were 15 games behind. They're only down 9 behind now. So it's, you know, because of their inconsistency, they haven't made more ground, but Tampa Bay has also, you know, been pulled back into the field.
Yeah, that's what they have to rely upon, is the other team, okay, second win, and the teams in front of them and the teams throughout the rest of the league, you know, helping them out.
Mm. All right. Let's take a break, Tim. Get my Steve Krause in here. You guys are old buddies. All three of us are, as a matter of fact, and we'll get to our topic of the day and other stuff too. I know Steve's got a lot to talk about in terms of Boston sports. We will take a break and then we'll see what Steve's got to say, if I can find the right button to push, and God knows if I can. We'll see.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back now with the famous Steve Krause, both sports and news journalist for the Item of Lynn. And Tim Kearns is with us. I'm Rick Moore. Bill Noel is working on stuff for tomorrow, including an interview with Lynn Classical High School baseball coach Mike Zukowski, who is leaving the team after 15 seasons with the Rams, and they had an absolutely spectacular year this year at 17-4. But Steve, welcome. I'm going to let you and Tim go at it first. And the topic of the evening, as you know, is I've asked, we're going to split this up into segments, I think, over the summer. We're going to talk national sportscasters, local sportscasters, and so on. But tonight the topic is the top five, or at least this is where we'll start. We can talk about other stuff too. The top five TV sports anchors in Boston all time. And Steve, I'm going to let you say hello to Tim and Tim to you, and then I'm going to start with Tim, and then we'll bounce off each other after that. Is that okay?
Whatever.
All right.
I'm ready. I'm here.
All righty, Steve. How are you?
It's a Kearns. Good to hear from you. What's happening?
Not too much. Enjoying retirement every day. You know?
Yes, best job I've ever had.
Exactly. I keep telling you, and it even pays well.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I had in my mind, I was telling Rick, that we were doing like play-by-play guys, and my list just kept growing because Boston has had so many good ones over the years. And then I reread the email and I went, oh crap, I got to redo my homework. And not that that hasn't been done before, you know, through the years. I was looking at it and going, wow, Boston sports anchors. Who's been that influential? I kept thinking, okay, well, let's see. What are some of the criteria we got to judge them by? Well, They have to be here for a long time. Because you need to have an impact on the Boston sports scene as that sports anchor. You had to have an entertainment factor. You know, your presentation, your presence on the at the sports desk, as they would say. You know, and did you leave some sort of mark at the end of your time at the sports desk when you gave it up? That sort of like really pared down my list, because I'm thinking, you know, prior to a certain time, you didn't spend a whole lot of time paying attention to the sports anchor. And then the 80s came around, and all of a sudden we started paying more attention to them. Did you find that in looking like who were the top five sports anchors? Steve, where's your connection?
Beg your pardon?
The connection's going in and out for me. Rick?
Yeah. You there, Steve?
Oh, I'm sorry. How's this? Better?
Yeah, much better, yes.
All right. I had a tough time coming up with five, to tell you the truth.
And excuse me, guys. When we do this, when you start going through the list, start with bottom first, okay? 5-1. I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I had a tough time coming up with five, but I did.
You know,
finally.
And I bet, Steve, we have the exact same three. Okay?
I would probably say
being the same age, you know, our awareness probably, you know, all came about around the same time, and the sportsman that is, I can't even think who's out there today that I would even rate as anywhere near the three guys that I'm going to name.
We're probably the same, yeah.
Okay. So, my number three... Don Gillis.
He would be my three.
You know, Don Gillis was just so steady. He oozed Boston. He oozed New England. You know, the blue plaid coat that he always wore. There was something just traditional about Don. His whole demeanor, his makeup, his professionalism. His seemingly good access, especially to the Red Sox, during this particular time, during the time period where he was on the scene. He seemed to be able to get into that clubhouse and talk to the players.
Yeah.
Okay. Two, I went with Lynch.
Okay.
Two, I went with, again, not sure, notwithstanding that he's a North Shore boy. But again, hometown's fun, real ease of presentation. He came in when he was really young, so he had appeal for, I think, a lot of the young people that were just turning into the news when the three major TV stations were kind of really going at it, almost fighting for personality.
Yeah.
And Mike just was that young kid, but he was mature, he was stable. And he brought in the high five and just really connected with the high school sports scene in Massachusetts and really made it something that parents could watch the sports at night and maybe see their kid or see other young kids playing the sports that all it seemed like the adults were getting covered on.
Mm-hmm. Who's number one? Like even that.
Go ahead, Steve.
All right, who's your number one? Like I even have to ask.
Well, I'll tell you. Why can't we get guys like that?
Yeah, I figured as much. Yeah, well.
It had to be. Bob O'Bell showed up. He had more personality. He made the sports segment fun to listen to because he was just edgy enough, just goofball enough to make you wonder what is he going to say next. And again, his ease of presentation, and he just gave New England the slogan of the century that we still use today. My buddies and I, we still use it. How come we can't get guys like that? Every time we trade somebody away, he turns into an all-star. You know, and it's the first thing you think of. Even people who never heard of Bob LaBelle know that And that is
Why can't we get started like that?
That is his enduring legacy as a boss. Plus he was,
yeah, the other time the Cleveland Indians beat the, Guardians beat the Red Sox, I always say, why can't we get managers like
yeah,
that?
Yep, you know? Exactly.
Oh, you want to hear mine?
Go for it.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to go 5-1 because there are a couple in there that I think need to be rated or at least mentioned. Number 5 is going to be Len Berman.
Ooh.
He was a professional. I didn't like the fact that he wore tons of makeup to the games. You know, he'd come to the games with his makeup still on, and I don't know, it turned me off a little bit, but he was good. I liked him. He was not afraid to call some of these guys out if they were jerks, which I always appreciated. Number 4 would be Dick Stockton.
Really? Okay, yeah, yeah.
Dick Stockton turned into a great broadcaster.
Yep.
A play-by-play guy, as we know, but he got his start on Channel 4 way back when, and I enjoyed him very much. Number 3 would be Don Gillis, and what I always liked about Don Gillis is that Don was, he was almost a renaissance guy when it came to sports. You know, he there wasn't anything about the beat that he didn't know. You know, Harvard, Yale. If you go back and listen to the thing that they did on the Harvard-Yale game, 29-29 tie that ESPN did, you will see that that's Don Gillis' voice doing the play-by-play.
Yep.
And not to mention the fact that he was just a wonderful guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all things, you know, just in every way. I'm flipping 1 and 2. Lobel was number 2 for me. Everything you say, Timmy, is true. He could annoy me sometimes because he was just too cute sometimes. And toward the last 10 years when he was on, he always seemed a little bit scatterbrained to me sometimes, too. And,
we know the reason for that, Steve.
Yeah, I do, but, you know.
We won't talk about it.
It wasn't always my cup of tea. Most of the time he was, but there were times when it would say, come on, turn it off, Bob. He's like Steve Burton is today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So much Steve Burton you can stand. Number 1 solidly is Mike Lynch, and for every reason he wasn't a stand-up comic or anything, but you know, he gave you good report. He paid more attention to local sports than any other broadcaster I've ever heard. I mean, if you want to know how a high school game went, Mike Lynch would have a complete report on it. Mike Lynch never had more value to this area than he did at tournament time when on his broadcast you would just get a rundown of all the games, you know, at the Garden and everything. And, of course, that half-hour report that he used to do on Thanksgiving night, you know, was must-see TV as far as I was concerned. You know, I used to try to pitch which sweatshirts he was going to wear. That's how much I liked it. You know, I just liked the whole thing. You know, he made that important. And as you know, when you're a kid and you don't have, you know, sometimes you play these games in a vacuum. When you're a kid, you know, when you see your name up on Channel 5, Mike Lynch, it's like, oh my God, my life is complete. I can die now. And I just, what he did for those kids, you know, any of us have done it too, but we do it on a much smaller scale. When we do it, Rick or I do it, or Phil Stacey does it, we don't have everything to compete with that Mike has. Because he's got pro sports, he's got national sports, yet he gave those people time. He gave those kids time, and I just think that was the nicest, you know, and greatest thing he could have done as a broadcaster. And I can't say enough about him because of it. Not that I don't like Lobel, not that I don't agree with everything Timmy said, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, I'm going to jump in now.
Mm-hmm.
And these are great, and I think we got to. I got to put a point system on. I think I'll give 5 points to the to whoever was selected number one by each of us, and we'll figure out how it stands after mm-hmm. we talk with Mike Grenier later. But great names, every single one of them, and I'm going to bring in a couple of names you guys have not mentioned yet, just like you did, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
My number five is Lobel. I think he was too much of I shouldn't say it that way. He was very much a performer as much as he was a sportscaster. And, you know, I prefer the nuts and bolts. And he loved to perform, and he still is really good at it, very knowledgeable, and God knows he was terrific. But I think the guys above him, I favored even more. And Lobel is, I just think a little too much ego for me watching him, but he's spectacular. All these guys are.
Yeah.
Here's a name out of the past, Clark Booth.
Oh, man, I forgot all about him.
And Clark Booth, to me, is the Grantland Rice of Boston sports.
Yes, very much.
He was a poet laureate delivering the sports. And I absolutely loved the way he did it so effortlessly. And it was mostly, you know, the Boston pro teams. But, oh, my goodness, he different. Totally different sportscaster, and I love him to this day. Number three, a poor man's Clark Booth, in my opinion, was Bob Halloran. We worked with Bob Halloran.
Bob is really, yes, I like Bob.
We worked with him several times at the Garden and so on when he was covering high school basketball finals and stuff. He also had a way with words. He could really put a story together that was both amusing, poignant, and on the money sports-wise. And he wasn't a TV anchor for the most part. He did weekends. And I wish he were a TV anchor, but I love Bob Halloran.
Yeah, they gave that gig to the wrong guy.
Agreed. We all agree on that. No, yeah. No question. He should be the anchor today.
Yeah.
And then
his name's nowhere to be found.
Nor his father either.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Number two, I'm going to go with Don Gillis, and the reason I do that is because when I moved to Massachusetts, I sort of grew up with him. And boy, was he a reassuring presence in the living room every single night. Then he also did was a bowling, some bowling show. I forget the name of it. And then the other thing, when I talked with Mike Lynch, Tim and I had about an hour interview with Mike Lynch a couple of times on North Shore Sports Night. And Mike Lynch had nothing but good things to say about Don Lynch as a mentor and Don Gillis. As a mentor and as a person. So I'm going to go with Don Gillis number two, and I agree with you. No one can touch Mike Lynch as far as I'm concerned. He is absolutely the best. And when he can weave effortlessly in between talking with high school kids, going to high school gyms, football fields or whatever, and then sit on a Sunday or a Saturday with Bill Belichick at the Belustrator, it's just amazing what he did. And then all three of us know him personally, and I don't know of a nicer man in the profession.
Oh, no, that is absolutely true. He is the greatest guy. You know, I remember he came to one of our sports banquets, and, Linda, my wife, was kind of starstruck by him. And she talked to him, and he gave her the appropriate time of day. You know, he was very nice to her and everything, and I just, again, I mean, it's a guy I couldn't say enough about, and it breaks my heart, really, to see what he's going through now.
Yeah.
It just really does. This one guy doesn't deserve it.
Tim, any comments on my picks?
Well, you're obviously a lot older than Steve and I, but...
Oh, come on. Gee, thanks, buddy.
A bit.
The names you brought out, I was like, oh, my God, you know. And, Len Berman, to go back to Steve's list for mm-hmm. a second, you know, he almost considered him professorial.
Yeah.
in his presentation, it was like, okay, am I getting the sports from Oxford University or what story here? Because it'd be perfect, you know, reporting on the races at Henley. But, you know, Dick Stockton, again, you know, he covered all the Boston sports, especially the Red Sox. And, you know, Clark Booth, oh my God, you know, again, kind of like pre-Lynchy. just had that hometown feel about him, you know, and Bob Halloran is the guy who's doing it now, and again in that Channel 5 solid, dependable, almost folksy kind of way that you sit back. It's why everybody watches Channel 5 News, you know, because of the way the news is presented. It's not over the top. It's straightforward. You feel like you can believe everything they're telling you. You know, the people have been there for a long time. And that longevity really says something for the stability of the broadcast itself, whether it's news, sports, weather, or whatever.
Right.
I think Rick's a great. I you know, for some reason when I went and started going over these things, I completely forgot about Clark Booth, and I don't know how I ever could, because I remember when what's his name? I can't think of his name. Cliff Keane. When Cliff Keane wrote who was a writer for the Globe many years ago.
Yep.
And he used to greet Clark Booth and say, "Hey, big words."
You know who does that now is Chris Gasper. I have to have a dictionary with me when I read his columns.
Chris is one of us. He's a Lynn boy.
Isn't he great?
I love him.
Oh, man.
Great guy.
Steve, listen, I'm the assignment next time, and I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to wrap this up here in a minute, but the assignment next time, if you guys want to do it, let's switch it over to local sportscasters play-by-play, and it could be TV, radio, whatever, but let's keep it local.
I'm good. I'm just waiting for you to do local sports editors so that I can see where I am.
Oh, we'll have to get to that. And listen, there's no limit. I'm going to probably have 7 or 8 guys on my list, so...
I already have 8, just so you know.
All right, so we could do it.
And what is actually a broadcast team?
We could do it. We can do a 10, yeah. A top 10.
All right.
Steve, any final comments, young man?
Yeah, before I go, I just want to impart some really, really sad news. Gene DiPlacido of the Salem News died yesterday.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, apparently it was quite sudden.
Oh.
So, I just, for those of you who don't know her, she was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person.
Oh.
If you ever had to sit next to somebody for 2 hours on a boring high school football game in the middle of November, couldn't do better than Gene DiPlacido. She was just great company at these games, good reporter. You know, and I'm just beside myself. So I just wanted to impart that, and it was a long, and I'll put a damper on the rest of the night. But
yeah, no, I appreciate that.
You probably should know.
It's yeah, and I think she just left the Salem News recently, didn't she?
Not long ago.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the whole story.
Yeah, I don't either. Oh, that's sad.
I missed her and miss her.
Yeah.
I miss her already.
Yeah, great time. I remember some of the things she was talking to me up in the booth at Hamilton Wenham on a Saturday at a football game, and she's just such a pleasure to be with. And
she was wonderful. Wonderful.
Covering the prep, and oh, my goodness, yes. All right, Steve, thank you for that. And,
talk to you next week.
Yeah, next Monday. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good stuff. All righty then. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back with Mike Grenier. And I'm going to have to tally these scores here at some point and figure out what's what. But let me take a break, and we'll be back. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
We're back with Mike Grenier. I finally found the correct buttons to push. Mike Grenier is with us, sportscaster, sports journalist, and Tim Kearns, Mr. Everything, is with us. And Mike, how are you?
Okay. It's been an interesting discussion so far. I absolutely love it, talking about the sportscasters. And I am so glad, guys, that our friend Steve Krause just mentioned Jean DiPlacido of the Salem News, because I had the pleasure of working with her for three or four decades. And there is no better person and more humble person on this earth than Jean DiPlacido. And amazingly, Tim and Rick, he was still working at the age of 79. And Phil Stacy, the sports editor of the Salem News, called me yesterday to tell me that she had passed away. She was even supposed to do a little league tournament game Saturday night, and she begged off at the final minute because she was just too ill. So incredibly devoted to the North Shore sports scene, all the high schools, coaches, and athletes loved her because she was so humble about everything she did. She never called attention to herself. I can't say enough good things about her, and she'll be sorely missed.
I tried to interview her several times, Mike, yep. And because of that demeanor, she just deferred. She said, "No, thank you. I want to talk. I want to write about the kids. You don't need to talk about me."
Oh yeah, that's just so typical of her. I'm not the least bit surprised. And not only was she a great ambassador for high school sports around here, North Shore, but she was just so intensely devoted to her family, loved, I think she had five kids, I believe, and her husband passed away quite a while ago. And her whole job in life was to raise her kids and then to be give exposure to high school athletes all over the North Shore. And really, she was a friend to everybody, coaches,
yes,
athletes, fellow media people, just, like I said, one of the most humble people on earth. I was shocked when Phil Stacey called me yesterday to tell me about her passing. And now she'll be sorely missed, but hopefully she'll have a legacy from all the people that she's touched so many lives. I mean, that sounds cliche, but she really did. She touched hundreds, if not thousands, of lives. And hopefully that's the legacy that will be part of her.
Well, thank you for mentioning that also, Mike. And speaking of goodwill ambassadors and so on, Tim, how do you want to start this off with Mike? Where do you want to go?
Well, I would just like to add regarding Gene, and I didn't have the opportunity to know quite as long as you guys did, certainly. But I always remember her when she came into the press boxes. She always had information she was willing to impart with everybody there.
Yeah.
If anybody needed any kind of information, she was right there with, and the details were crushing, you know, but it was like a mother taking care of her kids.
Correct. That's a great way of putting it, Tim. I couldn't agree more.
Listen, when Tim gets back to it and we start getting back to the sportscasters, I just want to interject here that we have put on the website, anybody listening to the program, at any time you can call our hotline number and you can record your lists as well, your top five Boston TV sports anchors. And all you have to do is just leave a message, leave your name, leave the town that you're from, and what your picks are. And you just call 978-325-3638. It's an automated line. It's open 24 hours a day. Call 978-325-368 at any time. Record your first name, where you're from, who your picks are. We'll post your voices and choices after the show. Tim?
All right, so you just want to repeat do the same format that we did with Steve?
Well, you could remind Steve of who your picks are. Sure, I mean, excuse me, Mike, who your picks are?
Okay, it's funny when Steve came in and he added a couple of his, and then Rick threw one out there. I felt rather remiss with some of the guys that I did not remember, because the three that I chose were, I think, probably the most memorable, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Don Gillis, Mike Lynch, and Bob Lavelle.
Yep.
And certainly, you know, they were all guys that you watch on a nightly basis, you know, and when Steve added Dick Stockton and Len Berman, certainly two more, and then Rick added in Clark Booth and Halloran. It's like, okay, there's an all-star team for the ages.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys. Yeah,
absolutely. I love all the names you guys put out there already. I listened to Krause, I listened to you, Tim, and of course Rick. And so my own list is, it just diverts just a little bit from the guys you already mentioned, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So my number five guy will be a very solid, no-nonsense guy, Mike Dowling. Mike Dowling.
Ooh, I forgot about Mike Dowling.
Yeah, at Channel 5.
Yep.
And I believe what he had played sports himself, and he came aboard at Channel 5 and was around when there were many other good sportscasters, too. And what I liked about Mike Dowling, he was always prepared. He was always accurate. He was no-nonsense guy, but he still was entertaining, and he was informative, and he kept you abreast of what was happening with all the major teams in Boston. And so I have him at the number five spot. Number four, I don't think this guy's been mentioned, Bob Neumeier.
Neumi.
Number four.
I thought about Neumi. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think what I liked about Bob Neumeier is he was a great balance to Bob Lobel, who could be like silly and do crazy stuff, and Neumeier was more serious about the sports casting he did, but yet he could still have fun too. I know he liked to talk about the horses and the Kentucky Derby and all that stuff, but yet at the same time, I thought he was a very good journalist in the job that he did. And I know how much has been said about Bob Lobelho so far, both like good and bad, you know, pros and cons. I do say this, Tim, and I think Rick, the two of you might agree here. I think the single greatest sportscast, or 11:30 p.m. type of sportscast, the Sports Extra, was the night that Bob Lobel, somehow, he was able to put in the same room Bobby Orr, Ted Williams,
oh, yeah,
and Larry Bird.
Oh, yeah.
To me, that might have been the single greatest locally produced half-hour
Hall of Fame
in Boston sports history.
I agree. I saw that on YouTube the other day, and I had totally forgotten about that they had those three guys in the room at the same time, and I didn't realize it was Lobel who put it together.
Oh, yeah, it was Lobel, and he had some good questions. And once that Bobby Orr and Bird and Ted Williams, of course, who was by far the most vocal of the three, once those guys started talking between each other and among each other, you hardly had to ask any questions because that was such it was like the Mount Rushmore of Boston sports, obviously. You could argue there was the Mount Rushmore of national sports.
Yes.
Guys like that in the house. And Lobel brought all that together. And to this day, I think anyone over the age of 35 or 40 or something like that, can relate to that and say, wow, what a powerful lineup that was, and how entertaining it was, and how informative it was, because they talked about the uncertainties they had when they grew up playing sports and whether they were going to make it, and then, like, you know, the iconic moments they had in their careers. I mean, that to me, and Lobel put that together, was just an incredibly extraordinary night, and obviously it must have taken a lot of leg pulling and, you know, say, can you make it that night, and juggling schedules and all that. It must have been very hard to put those three guys in a room on the same night, right, Tim?
There was a lot of beer promised after that show, let me tell you.
Yeah. So anyway, so there you go. So Lobel is kind of mixed in there, you know, at Neumeier's number four. My number three guy is a guy that's been mentioned, and we're old enough to remember him very well, and that's Don Gillis.
Yes.
And I can remember, Rick, as a young sports writer, just following Don Gillis, because he had that link with Bill Russell and the old Celtics teams.
Yes.
And they trusted him implicitly because he was a class act, number one. Number two, he was going to tell the truth. He was going to be objective about the games and the athletes who played the games. He was, like you said, I think, Rick, you mentioned like Grantland Rice or somebody like that. He was just a tremendous sportscaster. And by the way, Rick, the name of the bowling show that he had was called Candlepins for Cash.
Candlepins for Cash.
Candlepins for Cash?
Candlepins for Cash.
I remember that, and I didn't offer it up to him thinking, I'm not sure that was it. That was Saturday noon times.
Yeah, and it was extremely popular, right, guys? And,
oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people had good ratings, I think.
Stacia Zernike.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Bill Britt hosted that before Don Gillis did.
Wow.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. But anyway, you're right, Tim. But Don Gillis, to me, was ultra-professional. He always looked classy. And I know that as a young sports writer, I actually approached him a few times at Celtics games or something and say, hey, Don, how do you ingratiate yourself with the pro athletes in this town, and what's the best way to approach? I thought he was kind of a little bit of a mentor when I was like 22, 23 years old, you know? So he's always been high on my list because of that, and also the fact that he was such a professional, and had such a professional air about him at all times. So obviously he's my number three guy. Number two, the ever-popular Mike Lynch. Phenomenal job all around, because of the way he knew his sports, all three sports, all the four major sports, let's say, plus all the stuff he did with the high school. To me, the high five was such an innovation. And if we all noticed, obviously, that other stations, the other Boston stations, started copying it to a certain degree by having shows on Thanksgiving night with the high school, Thanksgiving Day football games and all that. And I remember talking to Mike Lynch about how he developed that idea, and he said to me, you know, Mike, on a Friday night, you know, we'd show Celtics highlights in November and December when it was early in the season and nobody really cared. And I thought, let's try something different here. So he went that route of doing features on the better high school athletes, not all over the eastern Massachusetts in particular, not just the athletes, but the teams that excelled at certain things, the teams that excelled academically as well as on and off the field. It was such a great innovation, and it was such a positive thing. And, of course, it became wildly popular, that so much so that the other Boston stations started copying it to a certain degree. So, and what Steve Krause mentioned, of course, was great. On a Thanksgiving night, Mike Lynch would be in the studio with sweatshirts of various high schools from Eastern Massachusetts, and after a commercial break, he'd switch sweatshirts, right? And it was such a great highlights package, and it brought you up to date on everything that happened on Christmas morning. You'd have it at your fingertips at the 6:30 p.m. show or the 11 p.m. show. It was just fantastic. And, of course, Mike suffered, you know, unfortunately, a stroke a year and a half or so ago, and I know he's coming along, but he's still got a long way to go. But I'll tell you what, he's definitely a unique character in the history of Boston sportscasting, and certainly one of the greats. He has to be up there. So he's my number two guy. And, Rick, you mentioned my number one guy, Clark Booth, and I know, Tim, you talked about him.
Ah, all right.
An erudite guy.
Yes,
really,
yes.
An intellectual guy.
He's the one I call Grantland Rice of local sports, yeah.
That's right. And Tim and Rick, I think we should point this out. Back in those days when Clark Booth was doing sportscasting, and in the time of Don Gillis and Bob Neumeier and those, and even Lobel, there was more time allotted to sports on the newscast than there is now. Much more time. Instead of, let's say, having whatever the ceiling is now, two and a half minutes, back then you had maybe four and a half minutes, which is much longer. And that allowed people, particularly like Clark Booth, who was so intellectual and so brilliant writer, it allowed him to develop pieces that could go more in-depth than just the superficial stuff that you normally see on TV. And Clark Booth topped that list to me in terms of, yes, he was intellectually, he was really bright, but it's not like he wrote or talked above his audience. I mean, he still related to a sports-loving, beer-drinking audience, let's say, in the Boston market. But he brought a certain class and a certain educational level to the sportscast that hadn't been seen before or hasn't been seen since. So I had many dealings with Clark Booth. All of them were pleasant. If I could tell you a real funny one, Rick and Tim, after the 1986 World Series, we know what happened there, right? The ball goes through Bill Buckner's legs, right, Tim?
We're
at Shea Stadium, and I walked down to the bowels of Shea Stadium with Clark Booth, and there was a huge media contingent there. We're waiting to get into the Red Sox clubhouse, and it was like kind of a long wait because it was such a obviously such an incredibly disastrous finish. So I'm sitting there talking to Clark Booth outside the locker room, and Mike Torres came around the corner. Now, he had given up, obviously, the Bucky Dent home run in the 1978 one-game playoff, and he was kind of the number one villain in Boston sports history at that point. Mike Torres came around the corner and saw Clark Booth and myself, and he was smiling, and he said, "Hey, I'm number two on the, I'm off the list. Clark Booth looked at him and said, "No, you're not, Mike. You just slipped from number one to number two." And he said it kiddingly, but also seriously. And that's one of the many things I remember of Clark Booth. Just not only that, he was such a generous person. I know that we invited him once to do the Salem News Student Athlete Awards and be the main speaker at the in Danvers, and he willingly came. He took away from the night from his family to be able to do that for the Salem News. So yeah, Clark Booth. Nothing but great things to say about him.
Yeah, I had the opportunity, you mentioned Mike Torres, I had the opportunity to meet up with him and John Tudor at the old Porthole Pub in Lowe years ago. He was a giant. People don't realize how tall and how wide that guy was.
Yep.
And you look at John Tudor sitting next to him going, okay, John is rather small.
Yeah.
I was in the right field stands when Bucky Evan Dent hit the home run.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really hurt.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. All those events are like milestones. You remember exactly where you were when all those things happened.
No doubt. And so obviously I remember Clark from that 1986 World Series as well. It's just normal. I would see him at different games. And of course, like Mike Lynch, I thought that was such a great explanation he gave about why he started the high five and the high school athletes, the fact that he just didn't want us to be showing the same old Friday night Celtic highlights, especially early in the season, when he could do something and put something together about high school sports on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, go to the practice session, talk to the coach, talk to the boy athletes and the girl athletes, and then present it on a Friday night.
You know,
just awesome development in Boston sports.
One thing I'm wondering about, guys, most of these guys, if not all of them, are retired. And there's a reason for this, I think. When we look at, and you know what, I think we, among the three of us, I think we can be critical in the words of being, meaning critique. We can critique, I think, because we've got a lot of experience among us in the various media without being critical. So we can critique. And what interests me, guys, is the fact that so many of these people, some of the kids, if they're listening to this program, have never heard of, and all they see is what's on ESPN, what's on, the Major League Baseball and so on. The quick, slam, slam, slam stuff.
Right.
The Sesame Street 2 minute stuff, from Laugh-In and so on. And I look at the guys we have now, and I envy being in Boston, on Boston Sports 4, 5, and 7, and 38 and all those. But they don't have that, what, je ne sais quoi, the charisma.
Right.
That the guys we're talking about. And I wonder if it's not their fault, it's the format, perhaps, because as you said, Mike, they've cut it down to almost nothing.
Correct. I think, like, for example, on Channel 5, Tim and Rick, I believe in a 7 p.m. newscast, they have a segment called, like, the 1 minute blitz, or whatever it's called. And so, whether it's Castiglione or Bob Hallen, who, by the way, I also have great respect for him, and you guys mentioned him, and he had a way with words, has a way with words,
yep.
And certainly had a great writing skill. But when you get Bob Hallen just a minute to talk sports, come on, what do you have to just? It's just unbelievable. It's like a McPaper, a McDonald's. I mean, it's a chicken nugget. That's all you get. And it's too bad that, like I said, we all know. We remember the times in the 1970s and 80s when sports you had. Four to five minutes or 4.5 minutes, whatever it was. It was certainly a couple minutes longer than they get these days. And therefore, I do feel for the sportscasters who do take their job seriously, who only have a minute and a half, 2 minutes to talk about it. Whereas years ago, you could develop a story with a four-minute newscast or a four-and-a-half-minute sportscast. So there is a difference there. Guys back then had more opportunity than they do now.
Did Mike Dowling come from the news section to sports?
He might have done. I don't recall, but I just remember Mike was just a really nice, easygoing presence on Channel 5. He loved sports. He knew what he was talking about. I just had the greatest respect for him, as I did for Bill O'Connell.
Oh, yes.
On Channel 5.
Yes, Bill O'Connell.
He was another one. A really just solid reporter. He was part of that no-nonsense group that I like to say on Channel 5. And you know what, guys? A guy who was there at Channel 7 for a few years, Roy Reese, who used to work at WCCM right here in Lawrence, Massachusetts, he went on to bigger things with Channel 7. And he was okay, but his son is Mike Reese, the one who we see now on Channel 4 analyzing the Patriots. And Mike Reese is, I know him personally, a phenomenal reporter, takes his job very seriously, and he's not like an anchor or anything like that, but he's a contributor on Patriots broadcast on Sundays on Channel 4, usually with Steve Burton, and he gives the serious side of the sports news, whereas Christian Fourier sort of acts like a clown, and but Mike Reese is just a tremendous young guy, and his father was Roy Reese, who worked Channel 7 anchor for several years.
I think most of these guys, on our lists among the three of us, they came from the old school of broadcasting and journalism where you don't ever become part of the story. And
right.
In my mind, what we see today, and Tim, I want to defer to you, I see too much of, look at me on sports now.
Well, I think one of the things you see is, I think a lot of it becomes based in the presentation of sports. Almost a kind of over-the-top reporting, sensationalism thrown in there where it doesn't need to be to sort of attract people saying, oh, look, did you hear what so-and-so said? And it's like, no, I want to know what the score is. I want to know some highlights. I want to hear some words from the athletes, some intelligent conversation. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see the hyped up, to be critical, Fox News style of sports reporting. You know, right. Again, our age really kind of gives us away in terms of what we expect in terms of a sports cast, sports reporting, sports information, and the way it should be presented.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Tim. And I go back to that point I made about having more time back 30, 40 years ago for a sportscast. And for example, if a guy went to a Bruins locker room, like a Don Gillis or, you know, a Clark Booth or whatever, they would come up with that gem of an athlete maybe who might not have been the main star of that game, but would have some really good insight. It would be the secondary star or the third star of the game. In the Bruins locker room, or the Celtics locker room, or the Red Sox locker room, or the Pacers locker room. And you could give that insight from another voice in the locker room, and not necessarily Tom Brady. It could have been, the second wide receiver who caught a touchdown pass in the middle of the game that made a difference. I mean, that's what the old-time sportscasters had the ability to do. And I copied that style. I know for the Salem News, I used to go in there and say, okay, I'll get to the main guy, Larry Bird, after everyone peels away from him. In the meantime, I'll talk to McHale for a while, or Robert Parrish, you know what I'm saying? So you had sort of a your own personal look at the game that nobody else had. And that was the style that I like to operate on. And I think those old-school sportscasters, that's exactly what they did.
Well,
they had more time to delve into it.
Professional sports has taken that away now, where you just get to talk to the guys on the podium.
Yeah, that's right.
But you mentioned something about one of these guys acting as sort of a mentor to you or you know, deferring to you. I have a quick story that I've told before, but I got to tell it again.
Yeah.
John Ahern of the Boston Globe.
Yeah.
He was the golf editor and the yachting editor.
Yeah.
When I first started at WESX in Salem, Norm Durkee assigned me to go over to the Eastern Yacht Club, or one of those yacht clubs, and cover the yacht races. Remember that in August?
Well, that race week. Yeah.
Race week, and I knew nothing about it. Give me a break, you know?
Me neither.
Come on, I'm a zero kid from Gloucester.
Yeah.
And John Ahern was there, and he had his little pork hat there.
Yeah.
A little hat on, he's got his golf shirt on, and we're out on the porch there. And he sees me, and he knows that I'm, and he sees me call into the radio station, and he knows I'm a rookie and I'm calling in locally. He came over and introduced him. Now, I knew him by his name, but I didn't know him by his face.
Right.
Because I'm calling him Mr. Ahern. So for the whole 4 days, he met me every day out there on the deck. He treated me to lunch every day, and he gave me all the results every day, and it was the nicest gesture that I could even imagine. And then, cause you know, I'm an established math teacher this time. I'm well set in my career, but I love sports casting and I want to do a good job.
Yep.
And these guys are my heroes. And then the other one was, my very first, news job at WESX was on July 4. I can't remember the exact date. 80, 81, something like that in the morning when Al Needham was on vacation.
Yep.
There was a fire in Beverly, at a place on top of, a convenience store, a pharmacy, in the corner of one of those intersections, and there was one fatality, and the place was whole roped off. I had to get there. I got there like at 6 a.m. because I had to go in and fill in for Al.
Right.
And when I got there, it was a hot day. It was July 4th, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And the place was all roped off with the tape and everything, and I got my WESX shirt on, but I'm totally lost. And who's there standing right next to me but Jack Hines of Channel 5.
Okay, yep.
And Jack Hines looked at me, and I looked at him, and he looked at me like, do you need some help type thing? I can't remember his exact words, but he said, in so many words, stick with me. I'll show you what to do.
Yep.
And he did. And, you know, it's like, you know, come on, man. I'm a high school teacher filling in part-time at a 1,000-watt radio station, and you're this Channel 5 anchor. And I can't say enough about people like that. And I think at the top of the list is Mike Lynch.
Yep, absolutely. I love those stories, Rick, because I think Tim, myself, yourself, we all have stories like that. And therefore, when we got established a little bit, you'd want to help that young reporter who came along. You know, you tried to pay it forward in a way, right?
I had a couple of kids I was able to get into the station and get started, and I'm. People still ask me for my advice now, knowing, you know, and I always never felt threatened for my job. If someone was better than me, by God, take it. And I always wanted to help kids.
Right, right. But this is, I tell you, it's been fun tonight, though, doing and hearing all the different names being thrown out there, because those are all classic names in Boston sports anchor history. And, you know, anyone who's a certain age remembers those guys.
Well, let me ask Tim before we wrap it up, because you and I started in the media. Tim was in coaching. Coach, was there someone like that, some big personality, some big star, either as a high school, college, or professional, that you met, that you were able to sort of hang out with, type thing, and you know, have get some advice? Nothing, huh?
Well, the list is just so long. Right?
Oh, okay. Great. Lovely. I love it.
Now, there are more local legends, you know, for me growing up playing baseball in Lynn. And Mike knows how big baseball what was back in Lynn in the 60s and the 70s especially. But, you know, I, for local names, I had the very good fortune of being coached and mentored by two of the very best in Lynn. In Nipper Clancy, who coached at St. Mary's and at Connery Post 6, and the guy who was his assistant coach, who ran the baseball clinic that I attended for more than 15 years, all through elementary school, high school, into college. And that was Franny Gill. And I learned so much baseball from those two men.
Yep.
And I coached and taught what those two men taught me in the 60s and in the early 70s, because it's what made the teams that I played for successful.
All right, guys. The assignment this upcoming week now is we're going to go for local sportscasters in general, whatever. I'm not going to qualify whether it's an analyst, play-by-play, anchor, or whatever, but local sportscasters in general. And let's exclude those we talked about today.
Okay.
And the list can be, I'd say, no longer than 10, but it can be up to 10.
Well, that's a big list, though.
Well, wait till you start, man. I already started mine.
Okay.
You just can't believe the announcers we've had in the city.
I'll have to, of course, try to rack my brain. I won't have to rack my brain too much, but I just have to start recalling the teams we've watched over the years, I guess, right?
Well, no. I cheated. When Tim said he didn't know this, forgot this, I cheated. I said, who are the TV? I went to Google. I said, Google me the all-time TV anchors in Boston, sports anchors. So that's how I did it. And,
okay.
I cheated, but it brings back to some of the names that like Clark Booth, man. He was always one of my favorites, but he's been out of the business for so long. So
passed away in 2018.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So the list can be as long or as short as you want, and no qualifications on it. Just Boston sportscasters.
That sounds good.
We'll do that
next
week.
More like fun, and then you know, I'm glad Steve Krause participated, because he certainly has the background to be part of this. That's fantastic, you know?
I'm going to tote these up. I'm going to give in reverse order, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 points, in inverse order, I should say.
Yep.
And right now, the leader in the clubhouse, of course, is Mike Lynch.
Yep, okay, yep.
So we'll put it up there. Tim, any final thoughts for Mike?
No, once again, just extending condolences to the DePlacido family.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And That has left a major hole in the high school sporting world on the North Shore.
To be able to work till she was age 79, and even Phil, I said Phil Stacy when he called me yesterday, he was devastated because she was ill and she did not tell anybody. I mean, her privacy was such that she didn't want anybody to make a fuss over her, and therefore the only people who knew was her immediate family. She didn't want her Salem News family to even know that she was sick. She was willing to work until literally her dying day.
Wow.
So that shows you how devoted she was. And like I said, her humility is second to none. She was just such a humble person and a great family person. And what can you say better than that, than she's a great family person?
Well, I hope for her family that whenever they think of her, they have a smile on their face for the wonderful things and experiences that they've had with her.
Correct, yeah.
All right, Miguel, we'll talk to you next week.
That sounds great, Tim and Rick. You guys have a great week.
And we'll need an update on the Celtics, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I watched them last night, and to see one guy turn the ball over 10 times was kind of odd.
After he's...
I did watch part of it last night, and that the turnovers did kind of get to me, too. I was like, come on.
Okay, Mike, we'll talk.
It is July.
Talk to you later, Mike. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. That's Mike Renier, sports journalist, and a lot of fun. This is fun tonight, Tim, and the names that come up, man, it's like, you know, if you had to rate these for real in terms of an award or money or something like that, I wouldn't want to do it.
Oh, no, it's crazy. And, you know, look at the names that we all overlooked as we filled in the gap.
Yeah.
You know?
I know, but there's a lot of consensus there, and I do think it has to do with the generation, because as Mike was saying, back in those days, sports took up a good, I think it was more along the lines of 8 to 10 minutes.
At least.
Yeah, but now it's just a shotgun stuff, and I don't like it. And some of the guys who will be nameless, when they get on there, they have to, you know, really grab the headlines for themselves, or at least the performance, and act for the camera. And with everybody we mentioned here, I don't think there's anybody who did that. They all had personality, they all had egos, but boy, were they good.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We were very lucky to grow up in the heyday.
Oh, yeah.
Of Boston sports anchors.
Oh, man. Well, I think it also speaks to what a great sports town Boston is.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, you know, people wonder why, you know, Boston's getting so rabid, and people always say, you know, the smartest sports fans in the country are the Boston sports fans. And that's why we're such nutty people. because we know the game.
Yes, yes. So, yep, and what is that saying? You don't suffer fools? I think that applies to Boston sports fans. Okay, Coach, it's been fun, man. This was something different. I enjoyed it. Thanks.
Oh, well, thank you for coming up with the idea.
All right. Okay, so, yep, and what I did was I wrote down a bunch of names already, and then I have to sort of put, you know, as they come to me, then I have to kind of put them in order. Is that how you did it?
I just more or less wrote them down on a piece of paper, mm-hmm. You know, and then I kind of like threw numbers at them.
Yeah, that's what...
It's so tough, you know, you get to number one, you go like, well, geez, maybe this other guy could be number one, too.
Yes.
I think it's almost, let's just create a list of the top 10, and then we can kind of figure out amongst ourselves where they would rank.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying. Come up with 10 names, and then we'll rank them. I like that idea. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come up with a consensus.
That little idea.
Among the four of us, come up with a consensus 10, and then we'll have to come try to order it. Oh, I like that idea. I just today slapped down out of the top of my head 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Boston sportscasters, and I think every one of them is in some sportscasters Hall of Fame just from Boston.
Yeah, well, I've got 8 names, but 2 of them were a duo.
Okay, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I get it. I gotcha. Yep. Okay. Well, is the Home Run Derby on tonight?
It is on right now.
All right. Let's go watch that. Tim, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. You be well.
All righty, Rick. You as well.
All right. Talk to you next week. Okay. That's Tim Kearns, who is our sports analyst and our MSO Goodwill Ambassador. Don't forget, tomorrow and this week we have the Sports Writer Sportscast coming up, hosted by Bill Newell, and that is, of course, with the Salem News Sports Writers, Phil Stacey, Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and Nick Hukuru, and we've got the Sports Desk's programs at the end of the week, either on Thursday or Friday this week, North Shore Sports Desk, and the the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk with Nick Hukuru and Dominic Nicastro. That's all upcoming, plus lots and lots of good stuff here during the week. Appreciate your being with us. Let us know. If you want to talk with us, it's msonewsports@gmail.com. And again, if you'd like to add your list to what we talked about today of the top 10 sport, or actually the top 5 sportscasters, TV anchors in Boston over the years, Just leave a message at 978-325-3638, 978-325-3638. Record your first name, where you're from, and who your picks are, and we'll post your voices and choices after this program, and any time during the week, as a matter of fact. We'll post it right here on this North Shore Sports Night post. Thank you for being with us. On behalf of Tim Kearns, Bill Newell, Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer, and our guests, Mike Grenier and Steve Krause, I'm Rick Moore. Be well, be safe, and do the right thing.